What is prophetic leadership? What does it look like in the church? How does it function? And how does prophetic leadership help form the church? We're going to talk about it today, right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bruce Ritter, along with my co-host, Charles Russell. Together, we want to help Christian leaders rediscover Christ speaking and acting in the local church.
Hey, welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. Today we have just one of my favorite topics to talk on. That is prophetic leadership in the local church. And Charles, this is something I think is going to be informative. It's also going to be somewhat exciting because we're talking about not only the gift of prophecy, but the work of the prophetic leader in Christ's body.
Absolutely. I'm excited to get into this topic. And so since this is your favorite, one of your favorite areas, I'm just going to sit back and listen and receive and learn and let you lead all the discussion. And so this is going to be a great podcast. I'm really excited for it.
Well, then we're in for a very slow day because I am neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet.
Well,
but I do believe in prophetic leadership. And yeah. I think it's really important to understand that that gift, that function of Christ in the local church has a prophetic nature to it. And so I think we can bring some clarity to that. I think we can bring some, we can open up maybe some understanding when we talk about that. I want everybody to know we have a brand new endorsement for the Five Gifts Podcast. I could not sit on this any longer. Guys, look at these legends of wrestling endorsing the Five Gifts Podcast. Charles, what are your thoughts?
Woo! All day long.
Yep, I'm telling you, it's like old Slick Rick would say, you may not like it, but learn to love it. It's the best thing going today.
That's right. We're putting darkness in the figure four leg lock right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, can't believe we went there today, but we did.
We'll do anything for a click or a view or a like, so, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, when they added J.J. Dillon as their manager, that's when they had Ole. Uh-huh. You know, they were always, it started out the four horsemen, but you eventually had five guys up there. And I think, what a great segue to talk about the five gifts. Oh my goodness. Prophetic leadership in the local church. Maybe we need to get back on topic. Charles, give us an understanding of where that leadership, that prophetic leadership, fits into the local church.
Yeah, in the context of the local church, prophetic leadership or the functioning of that prophetic gift in leadership, to me, boils down to one simple statement, it's this: that prophetic leadership inspires spiritual hunger and thirst in the local church body. So, you know, when you mention the word prophet or prophetic, there can be all kinds of images and words and descriptors that can come to mind. But again, getting back to our basic premise here on the Five Gifts Podcast, it's that we're not talking titles. We're not talking hierarchical structures. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the function of Christ's gifts that Christ gave his church. And the prophet is a gift that Christ gave his church. And so how does prophetic leadership function in the church? Well, the end result of prophetic leadership in the context of a local church is that it inspires spiritual hunger and thirst within the body. It stirs it up. That's what prophetic leadership does. And that's what we're going to talk about today on this episode.
Yeah. And I want to give a disclaimer, somewhat of a disclaimer. When we talk about the, you know, every church has to have leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that leadership is centered in a figurehead, a person,
mm-hmm.
usually the pastor. Sometimes it's more of an elder-led congregation. Sometimes it's a pastor with a staff.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever the iteration is, we have to recognize that the way Christ functions in the leadership of the church is going to have an apostolic character, prophetic character, a pastoral, a teaching, an evangelistic character.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you're going to see 2 to 3 of those gifts in one leader's life. Mm-hmm. But yet another leader that's kind of in the directing and the guiding of that church, they may have a different, they may have more of a, gifts that are, kind of in contrast.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, all churches, have in the activity of Christ, they're going to reflect each of the 5 gifts that we have put forth in our podcast.
Yeah.
So Charles, when we think about the prophetic leader, tell me why that's so important in the local church. You talked about how it stirs hunger, mm-hmm. spiritual hunger and thirst in the body. But talk to us a little bit about why it's needed in the local church.
Yeah. Well, to me, in my understanding and in my observations and in my learning of church, there is a great need for spiritual revitalization in our local churches. There needs to be it's like the levels of spirituality are too low, and as a result, people aren't being transformed, if that makes any sense. If we were to hold a thermometer or place a thermometer in the worship services and worship settings, what is the temperature of the worship service? What is it going to read?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid that for far too many local churches, whether large or small, this isn't an issue of size. It's an issue of spiritual condition and health. But I'm afraid that for far too many churches, that temperature would not get very hot. And so what I'm saying is that the need for a prophetic leader is to step into the environment and to begin to lead in such a way to stir spiritual hunger, and thirst within the body, so that the temperature begins to rise, things begin mm-hmm. to heat up. And the presence of the Lord is always there.
Yeah.
It's not an issue of is Jesus here or not. Jesus is here. But our spiritual condition is at such a weak place, we don't recognize that the Lord is here.
Yeah.
We don't engage the presence of the Lord. We don't come with an expectant heart. We don't engage in the presence of the Lord, and therefore we leave the place unchanged. We leave the same as when we came in. And so the prophetic leader stirs up spirituality, heats up spirituality. And this can be accomplished in private settings, semi-private, in the public setting of the church. Worship happens and spirituality happens in many settings within the church, but the prophetic leader is going to come in and stir up spirituality, stir up a hunger and a thirst for more of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so there's a great need for that. We need a spiritual awakening in our local churches. And that is a key component of the prophetic leader.
Yeah. So to think about the practical expression of that leadership, Charles, the fashion in which a prophetic leader, the measures that one takes, the mm-hmm. the direction that one takes to dig into that presence of Christ that leads to transformation, that leads to life change, that leads to Christ being formed in the body. There are some specific things I think a prophetic leader wants to focus on. We can talk about those. And the one that comes to the surface for me is, man, the prophet encourages our devotion, encourages our heart, our longing to both to worship and to serve
mm-hmm.
Christ, but also to become like Christ. And so, you know, if we look at, and I think those three levels are huge.
Yeah.
I think those are dimensions of church life where most people usually focus on one, maybe two, but they need to know that the expression of the life of the church happens obviously in a corporate setting,
mm-hmm.
but also in those semi-private to maybe small group kinds of settings.
Yeah.
Those smaller relational components, and also, you know, your private life. Your private life impacts the local church when you're properly connected. So I think, you know, the prophet encourages devotion to Christ. He's it's the leader that is you know, equipping and challenging people in their own private devotional times, participation mm-hmm. in spiritual disciplines like fasting and prayer, but also bringing those activities into the semi-private
mm-hmm.
and the public expression of our devotion to Christ. You know, in our Pentecostal charismatic space, we think of that worship service, that you know, moving from the outer court into the inner court, moving from praise and celebration, but getting to personal sacrifice and the offering of our lives, and the
mm-hmm.
And so really creating that vibrant devotion to Christ. What would another expression of the prophetic leader's ministry be?
Yeah, well, I think another expression of that would be stirring the body, stirring up spirituality in prayer, devoted times of prayer. And again, those same three areas what's the individual prayer life look? Mm-hmm. And so with some reflection, some introspection, you know, what is my prayer life, my personal prayer life look like? What does it involve? Bringing smaller groups, teams of intercessors, of, you know, bringing some prayer teams together, kind of in a semi-private setting, and just coming together and declaring the will of God over His church. And as a team, as a committed and dedicated prayer team, just sensing and discerning God's will, and then declaring those things over the church. Then what does corporate prayer look like? Does corporate prayer ever happen? If it does, and when it does, you know, what does that look like? What does that sound like? How is that structured? How does it happen in the church? So the prophetic leader is looking at kind of climbing that ladder, you know, up and down, mm-hmm. and not staying static in one place, but going, visiting those three levels to stir up spirituality in the prayer life of the church.
Yeah. Yeah. So we talk about encouraging devotion, stirring up prayer. Mm-hmm. I think a third one is the ministry of preaching.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, you know, the prophetic ministry ultimately has to find its expression in that preaching to the church, the calling it up to accountability to Christ, to paint the vision of what a Christ-filled life, a Spirit-filled life mm-hmm. looks like.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many areas of church life where, you know, it's hard to segment it out because the five gifts, they operate together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but when it comes to that prophetic aspect in preaching, and, you know, I think that preaching has so many purposes in the church, but in a prophetic sense, it's what brings the revelation of God's word, what the activity of Christ is. And,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, declaring message is not that it's just good expositions of scripture, but what is the prescient point of the season? What is the leading yeah. of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
in those moments and then those seasons of the church? And I think preaching has that forth telling quality that this is the way of the Lord for us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so good. We, you know, we spent 2 weeks talking about communication.
Yeah.
Which, you know, to me, I thought we're getting into very pastoral qualities of communication.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. never to diminish that preaching has a strong prophetic authority that brings people into the way of the Lord for that Absolutely. Local church. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I just wanted to add, we're talking about prophetic leadership. And so I think a prophetic leader is going to recognize that God is speaking. This is the word of the Lord for his people yeah. in this local context. And so preaching can't just be a one-off occurrence. And some might say, well, I don't just do standalone messages. I preach in series. But I think you can preach in series, and those can still just be a one-off series. I think a mm-hmm. prophetic leader, and this was huge for me when I was in that lead pastor role, when I began to learn this, a prophetic leader will take preaching and not view it as an event, but will begin to build a system or a conduit to facilitate the voice of God, that prophetic mm-hmm. voice of God through the entirety of the church. So now you've got preaching that's not just happening on Sunday morning, and as great as it may be, we're taking the prophetic voice of God, and yes, it's preached on Sunday morning, but why can't we take those sermons and those messages that are breathed on by God and allow that to become small group curriculum? Mm-hmm. that our small groups gather together in fellowship and continue in discussion in small group environments. Those prophetic messages, prophetic sermons can be concentrated and boiled down, and that can become the curriculum that you train your workers and your leaders in. Those messages can now, again, instead of being a one and done on a Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
can become the inspiration and motivation to raise up new evangelists and new gatherers of the harvest. And so what I'm just saying, you know, I'm trying to say is a prophetic leader doesn't just stand up and preach, but they're going to take what God is speaking mm-hmm. in and over and through this church and begin to fashion a system so that the word of God is lived out
yeah.
through the entirety of the church.
And really that's one of the challenges of leadership
mm-hmm.
to massage that into the life of the church. And you know, I think anytime you mention the gift of prophecy or prophetic ministry,
mm-hmm.
you're probably thinking in a flat dimension of expression.
Yeah.
But a prophetic leader is finding, you know, finding the different levels of church life where he or she's called to integrate that, to to inspire and to teach and to invite people into that experience.
Yeah.
So yeah. Absolutely. I think that's a great point. Any other thing you would say as part of the prophetic leaders?
Yeah, I think a prophetic leader is going to inspire worship in the church. So a prophetic leader is going to inspire, going to invite people into worship. And so the way I tend to view worship in the church is that it's the soundtrack for the prophetic word of God. And so when I go see a movie, are we allowed to go see movies? I think we're allowed to do that. But when I go see a movie, or I think about movies that I've watched in the past, the scenes that I remember most often, or the most powerful scenes that I remember most often, have some kind of a soundtrack. There's music involved.
Mm-hmm.
There's some kind of soundtrack involved. It's connected to that powerful dialogue or monologue, mm-hmm. that's taking place in the movie. And so I try to use that, and we'll train the worship leaders in the churches that we serve. Hey, look, don't just pick some random songs and just roll them out there, and it's just whatever happens. Let's be intentional. Let's pray, mm-hmm. and let's think through this. What we're singing on this coming Sunday morning, this is the soundtrack for the prophetic word of God that's going to come. It they're not competing against each other. They're working hand in hand together.
Yeah.
To amplify what God is speaking over his church body. And so the prophetic leader is going to look at worship. And again, there's more to worship than just singing, but I'm thinking, in a Sunday morning service, it's going to inspire people to worship, and also is going to align people in our worship so that we're praying, we're singing, we're preaching,
mm-hmm.
the same message. So there's some planning, there's some intentionality involved in that. There is some praying and discerning. Lord, what is it that you want to say over your people? But yeah. Once we have that strong sense of this is what the Lord declares over us, well, let's pray that, let's sing that, let's preach that in alignment on a Sunday, through a series, through a season. And so that's part of what a prophetic leader is going to do.
Yeah. Charles, I think you're bringing up something that I think it's important for us to maybe reframe the way we look at prophetic ministry, because and prophetic ministry and prophetic leadership. I think the tendency is to look at that person that is operating prophetically, to look at them as kind of an entity, an island to themselves.
Yeah.
But that really isn't the biblical picture of prophetic ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the Old Testament, I think of Samuel, the prophet Samuel, working with the kings. He himself is a priest, so he's walking in two areas of leadership for the nation of Israel. And so there was a high relational leadership component to his ministry. Elisha, they had schools of prophetic ministry. They were continually investing in and teaching. In the New Testament, John the Baptist is considered the second coming of Elijah in some capacity. But he himself had disciples that he's mm-hmm. investing in, that he's teaching and training. It's probably needless to mention Jesus and the disciples. That's obvious. But go into Paul and Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Manaen in the church in Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
It says that there were prophets and teachers in Antioch, and it was kind of in that community experience of experiencing the activity of the Spirit that Paul and Barnabas are set apart for that.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that that factor of leadership where you mentioned that the pastoral leader, the preaching, the one is leading the service as he works with the worship leader. They're not competing.
No, no.
They're working together. They're working together to align the activity of God and to mm-hmm. be reflected in the preaching and the worship. And I think that's crucial because that's important for nurturing the life and the presence of Christ among God's people. There's an aligning of where we sense the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. moving in our church, where what he's initiating mm-hmm. in terms of vision and ministry. And so I just think that's an important part for us to remember.
Yeah. As we're talking, I'm just reminded of John 5. I think it's John 5:19, where, you know, Jesus, he makes the statement, I'm only going to do what I see my Father doing. Mm-hmm. And that's really that brings to life for me, the thrust of a prophetic leader. And so because a prophetic leader is not going to fly by the seat of their pants and not just, well, whatever happens. There's planning. Mm-hmm. You talked about, we need to reframe prophetic ministry. When that prophetic ministry is put out there again, some people can say, they just think, well, that's weird, and I don't want anything to do with weird. And you and I haven't really talked about this, but I think that we would agree that that when we talk about prophetic ministry, we're not diminishing or discounting the supernatural work and presence of God among his people, right? The work of Jesus, the work of the Holy Spirit. No, there's a full expression of God's work and God's power in and among his body. But when we're saying prophetic leadership and prophetic ministry, we're talking about structure, intentionality, mm-hmm. strategy, that there's, you know, how are we going to do what God is doing if we mm-hmm. haven't spent time discerning, hearing, processing, reflecting,
mm-hmm.
and putting plans together to actually do what he's doing. So there's structure in this, there's strategy, there's systems, there's teams, there's process. Anyway, I don't want to get off on a soapbox or go on a rant or go on a further rant than I've already started, but I agree that we have to reframe prophetic ministry. Now,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there's some weird stuff that goes on, but you know, I'm weird sometimes too, you know. Sorry.
There's a spontaneity, I think, in
sure.
In some kinds of prophetic ministry. And you know, to me, I think a lot of potential momentum gets lost because prophetic ministry is either kind of the weird add-on to the service
mm-hmm.
and lacks integration, lacks appreciation. Maybe even lacks the covering of proper instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, when a prophetic leader is in the zone of leading and integrating that into the life of the church, I actually think it creates it creates the opportunity for more expression, more freedom, more usefulness of prophetic ministry.
And I absolutely 100% with you, but it also makes the prophetic more accessible. So now it's not just the prophet who's standing up there saying, thus says the Lord. It is the entire body, mm-hmm. that has access into the prophetic because the prophetic leader has built teams and systems and structures that gives the whole body a handle
mm-hmm.
to grab hold of, and it makes it doesn't isolate the body, but the prophetic leader welcomes the body into the prophetic ministry. So it makes the prophetic so much more accessible.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word. Well, when we talk about prophetic leadership, you see the need for it. You see the church needing the life of the Spirit, the presence of Christ to bring about, real change and transformation, more mm-hmm. of Christ emerging in the life of that church. So the prophetic leader has some roles. What about some more specific steps or actions do you see the prophetic leader taking in that capacity?
Well, I think there's invitation. So the prophetic leader invites the prophetic empowerment of God to flow mm-hmm. throughout the body, to flow through the leaders so that they can discern what it is that Jesus is doing. I'm a firm believer that the Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus 10 out mm-hmm. of 10 times. And so a prophetic leader is going to invite the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to come. But why would he or she do that? Well, to point us to Jesus so that we can mm-hmm. discern what Christ is doing. And Jesus, like I said in John 5:19, says, I'm only going to do what I see the Father doing. And so the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, and we follow the activity. We align ourselves and the church with the activity of Christ. And when we do that, we know that we're in the will of God, because Jesus is only doing what he sees the Father doing. And mm-hmm. so there's a great synergy. There's a great alignment there that comes when the prophetic leader begins to invite the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be released in the church and among the leaders for discernment, to be able to declare, what's the words that God wants declared in the church. It's mm-hmm. going to come through discernment. How are we going to inspire spirituality? We're going to do that by declaring God's word that he wants declared. If it's true that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession over us, if he's praying for us, I want to pray what Jesus is praying. I want to say what he's saying. I want to go where he's going. I want to do what he's doing. And at the end of the day, if I'm in alignment with Christ and his activity, then I get to, and we get to participate in what he's blessing. And so the prophetic leader is going to invite that prophetic empowerment of Christ.
Yeah. I think you're touching on a key there too, because what Ephesians teaches us is that the prophetic role, the prophetic leader, is part of that whole team of the apostolic and the evangelistic and the pastoral, the teaching. All of that works together to bring forth the measure of the stature of Christ's fullness. Mm-hmm. And so, inviting the people into that experience, inviting the empowerment of Christ is definitely, an essential when it comes to prophetic leaders. And another thing that comes to mind is the way that a prophetic leader is encouraging the private devotional lives mm-hmm. in their people.
Yeah.
And, I know over the last several years in our church, every January, we've begun what's called our spiritual life covenant. And it's changed from time to time. Sometimes we've done more of an emphasis on, reading through the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that you can do to get people on a regular intake of God's word, regular diet of God's word, is super helpful. Mm-hmm. You can do, let's read the Bible on the same reading plan. You can say, let's choose your own reading plan, but get into some kind of a sequence
sure,
of that. And, you know, with that, we encourage prayer. And, you know, we've done different things. We've gone up from maybe 15 minutes a day to 30 minutes a day, encouraging that. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't think we can underestimate the fact that people are always going to be bringing their personal lives into our corporate experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more of your church that is participating in private devotions, that has a huge impact on when that body comes together or when that body is assembling in smaller groups.
Yeah.
You're bringing people into that process where they have learned to interact with the presence of God themselves
mm-hmm.
through private devotions. I know we've emphasized some other things over the years, but whether it's journaling or we use a method called space, which is a manner of reading, looking for what are the sins to confess that you've seen mm-hmm. in Scripture? What are the promises to claim? What are the attitudes to change?
Mm-hmm.
We work through that acronym, but I think the bottom line is getting people into that private experience
mm-hmm.
with the Lord. They need to be seeing what Jesus is doing, and they need to be hearing what he's saying in their own personal lives.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that's important.
You know, one thing I have observed in pastoral ministry is that if we'll make this initiative is the wrong word, I guess, but a church-wide initiative to get people in private worship or private devotions, we're doing that for the person's individual's benefit. But what I've observed is that how we're growing and what we sense the Lord speaking in our private times of devotion and worship, when we come together in the corporate community, the Lord just seems to kind of connect those dots. And so now what God is saying privately to us individually, we begin to bring that and we discover, wow, the Lord is saying to her or to him the same things that he's been speaking to me in my life.
Mm.
And you just begin to look around the room and see how the Lord connects those dots. And it really creates some powerful times of corporate worship when you know that the same God who's speaking and directing my life is doing it in the same fashion and manner in someone else's life as well. To me, it just really reinforces the idea that a church is not just a meeting place or a club, but we are a spiritual community, a living organism mm-hmm. that God is knitting together. And there is an inside out expression to that begins in the private, but as we have conversation and connect with one another in fellowship and in smaller groups, we begin to see that there's a common thread and theme that God is in this divine communication in this local body that happens mm-hmm. privately, semi-privately, and publicly. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's well said.
Maybe a third one would be to urge some passionate prayer within for the body, for the church, and for the kingdom. And so when we're talking about this idea of passionate prayer, the prophetic leader's going to gather a team around him or her mm-hmm. and lead this team in passionately praying. It's a very focused time of prayer. It's a time of prayer, again, probably in a semi-private setting So when we say semi-private, you're not going to do this in the sanctuary right before Sunday morning service with all eyes watching, but you might pull a team in the pastor's office or in a Sunday school room on a Sunday morning before the service and engage in what we call passionate prayer. But and it's not, you're not necessarily praying for the needs of the church, although needs are very valuable. We want to pray for people, but in this this setting of prayer, we're declaring the will of God for individuals and families, for the church corporately, and for the community outwardly. And so it's a prophetic leader will begin to take that into consideration and begin to pull a team around him or her and pray in this manner.
Yeah.
And so,
you know, I think there's an important point of leadership there too, because you know, in bringing together prayer teams, you're not just putting everybody into a room and says, okay, we're going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
It's guided, it's prompted, it's yeah. it has to be led. And so the leader who is initiating that, not only is he getting people to pray, but he's setting an example and helping mm-hmm. them come into an expectation that not only are we going to pray, but we're going to listen, you know, to what the Lord is saying. Yeah. So we're making declarations, we're praying with fervor. You know, when we talk about praying with passion, we want passion. We don't want to work through some rote prayer model. We want to invite the Holy Spirit, who helps us when we pray, to help us as we're praying.
Yes.
And so there's declarations of God's character and nature to be made, but there's also that import of listening to what the Spirit is saying and respond to that. And I think one of the valuable things about doing that as a prophetic leader is you bring people into a teachable space where not only do you get to model that for them, but you get to invite them into that expression and experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And so everybody's down on the church because there's no discipleship. What a great place and opportunity to make prayer disciples, to teach people to pray, invite them in that semi-private setting, and the prophetic leader can begin to make prayer disciples in that room and in that setting, and just really, really lifts the church. You know, we talked earlier about kind of the spiritual temperature coming up. This is another way that the prophetic leader can raise the temperature of the church. And I tend to think of this type of praying like a big charcoal grill. You know, you can put the charcoal briquettes, you can enter that out in the grill just right out of the bag, pour it in there, and you can light that. But man, it's going to take forever to heat up that large grilling surface area. But if you'll take a little smoke box or a little chimney, and you pour the briquettes out of the bag into that smaller compact compressed space, you can light those briquettes, get them white hot in that small area, in that smaller grouping, and then when it's white hot, then you pour them out of the chimney into the grill, and immediately the temperature it comes up, and so the prophetic leader is going to think intentionally like that. You know, I think we recognize that a lot of our churches there's a problem in our spirituality, and I'm just going to say in our Pentecostal charismatic churches, because that's what I know, that's what I've grown up in. There's deep trouble there. This is a way, instead of trying to light up the whole grill or the whole church at once, a prophetic leader can pull in a team, get that team, make prayer disciples, get them just white hot, red hot, and then pour them out into the context of the corporate church, and that Sunday morning service will really begin to heat up.
Yeah.
So,
Charles, we got about 5 minutes to get through a few more things.
Okay,
and time has just kind of raced by. I think it's because we got so excited about the four horsemen endorsing the five gifts.
They have inspired passion in us somehow. So.
No, but this is such an exciting topic of church life to talk about. But
yeah,
let's talk about a fourth action, and that is in the declaration of God's word through the preaching and teaching ministry of the church. You know, we're connecting people to the life of God. We're connecting people to the activity of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, in declaration, there's also the important step of application. Mm-hmm. What do we do with this? What actions can you take in relation to hearing the word of God under anointed prophetic preaching? And giving it legs, giving it direction. I've always described, the way I've always approached preaching is I feel like I'm building a house. The sermon is about building a house. Uh-huh. But at the end, I want someone to live in this house. I want someone to live in the realities of it. And I think of prophetic ministry when it comes to preaching, it's encouraging people to interact with the promise of God, the commandment, mm-hmm. Of the scripture, somehow entering into the life of the Spirit that is bringing forth more and more of Christ. And
yeah,
and I think preaching certainly does that. But Charles, what would you say is in terms of that last action? Because that's a really important step in leadership when it comes to the prophetic leader. Talk to us about that fifth action.
Well, a prophetic leader is going to want to, they're going to direct spiritual life leaders to meet spiritual and human needs according to their giftedness. Mm. So as a prophetic leader, they're going to take inventory. Okay, who's on the team that I'm leading? Going to train, you know, where are they gifted? What areas are they gifted in? Let me train them in those areas of giftedness. And then now let me direct them to meet human needs in mm-hmm. their area of giftedness. And so it could mean placing skilled musicians and vocalists. It could be, okay, who we need to raise another prayer team. Who can lead another prayer team? I mean, mm-hmm. you could go in a thousand different directions with this, but the idea is that the prophetic leader is going to allow these folks to meet needs according to their area of spiritual giftedness.
You know, I was thinking, we talked about the hunger that the prophetic leader stirs. And, you know, that last point, you know, directing the other leaders in the body into their expression of their gifts, because that's going to connect to needs mm-hmm. In the body. And so I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul says, you know, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. We want to espouse that as leaders, that God is gifting his body. He's yeah. gifting everyone in the body. Yeah. And in the context of love and meeting the needs of our spiritual community, and then the overflow into our larger communities that are broken and need Christ. Mm-hmm. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Yeah. And he begins to go into a long chapter. People think it's laden with sarcasm. And I don't see the sarcasm. I see loving instruction. Mm-hmm. I see a desire to release all of the gifts of the Spirit. Yeah. Including tongues and interpretation. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's being as restrictive as much as he's saying, let's enter into the life of the Spirit in this place, yeah. but in a way that embodies love and, mm-hmm. and compassion. And so, you know, Paul said, I think that, that you all may prophesy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he says that the gift of tongues, I speak in tongues more than all of you. I want everybody entering into mm-hmm. The gift of tongues, but especially that prophetic the prophetic bent to ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just see that's we're called to continue that as spiritual leaders to lead people into first leading into the gift giving of the Holy Spirit, but mm-hmm. then on a personal level to really connect with those gifts in your own life in a way that you can serve in the local church.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what a prophetic leader is going to assemble that team, place them, train them, release them according to their giftedness. And when that happens, man, the prophetic ministry in that church will be on the rise. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when prophetic ministry takes place and is a leading factor in forming the church. So praise God for it. Hey, I just wanted to mention, I know we talked about these passionate prayer teams. You know, that's something that if that kind of caught your ear and you thought, well, okay, but how does that really work? What does that look like? Look, that's something that Bruce and I, we team up and we go to churches and train churches and teach churches on this kind of prayer ministry. And so, listen, if that's something that you're interested in, we're available and can come into your local context and train your prayer leaders, train your intercessory teams on what this passionate prayer can look like in your local setting. So
yeah, you know, Charles, we've had that opportunity to do that,
mm-hmm.
and I got to tell you, one thing that we've been able to do, I think we've been able to make that practical for the pastor to see.
Yeah,
this is how you can lead it,
mm-hmm.
But then to also see the people that are part of that prayer team begin to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying,
mm-hmm.
and to give expression to it. Man, what I've seen that do in people has been, you know, I don't want to say it's revival, but you just see the seeds of revival in that for that local church. Absolutely.
Yeah. So just to say, hey, we're available to do that. We really believe in this kind of prayer ministry in such a way that we're available. We'd love to come help you to establish that in your local church.
Amen. Well, it's been good to have you again on the Five Gifts podcast. Again, an exciting topic on prophetic leadership in the local church. If you liked what we had to say, let us know. If you don't like it, you can email Charles.
I won't respond, but you can email me.
But we would appreciate, you know, your comments, your likes, your subscriptions, especially share this with your other friends, and because we want to be a resource for people that are passionate about serving Christ and passionate about serving Him in the local church. So we will see you next week on the Five Gifts podcast.
God bless.